Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 325, recorded on March 22nd, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm really good, and I bet you are too.
I am, yeah.
I'm awesome.
I'm on island time now, because I'm done with finals. So
sweet.
Just chilling. And Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I was doing okay until I just tried to quit iTunes, and it's like refusing to quit, like, I can select quit, but nothing happens, and I can't click on anything.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
So
yeah, that's your bad. Speaking,
I bitch slapped it though, and it's gone now.
Speaking of iTunes, Apple released iTunes 12.6. I don't know if that's the one that you're.
Oh, is that
running.
My problem?
Maybe
it's because I didn't upgrade. It's.
I think the biggest.
It's a passive aggressive thing.
Yeah.
So wait, let me upgrade it right now.
Yeah, do that in the middle of the show. Get all the bandwidth.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
So other than performance improvements and bug fixes, I think the most interesting thing is that now it allows cross-device movie rental.
Finally.
Yes.
It's been like, I kind of thought that was in there because it's been so long since we've been able to rent movies. And I thought, like, maybe 5 years ago we were able to do that, but still, so
we
I guess
were.
The way that
it was really convoluted how you had to do it.
Yeah, so you would, I think, if you wanted to
back
move
in the iPod days.
From one device, so if you wanted to move a rental from one device to another, you had to start on iTunes, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to rent it within iTunes, and then if you were like, oh, I want to watch it on my iPad or whatever, then you'd have to plug your iPad into the computer and transfer over
USB. Go into iTunes. And not only that, you have to go on iTunes, you got to go to the rentals, and you got to say, okay, I want to move this to my iPad. Mm. And then it would literally physically move the file to the iPad and then delete it off your Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it could only, the movie industry was so freaked out that you might have the same file installed two places at the same time.
Yeah, so
that's just piracy.
Yeah,
that's just anarchy right
insane.
There.
We can't have chaos like that.
A movie rented on an iOS device or an Apple TV was not previously watchable on other devices and could not be transferred between devices. And that I feel like I actually was captured in that spot before. Like I was thinking, oh, you know, I'll just rent it on my TV because I'm sitting here and I'm pretty sure I can finish it somewhere else. And
it's bit me so many times because I forget, and then I'm like,
rent something real quick on your iPhone because it's convenient,
right? Yeah,
and then you go to watch on Apple TV and you can't.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my god. But you could AirPlay it, right?
I'll be out and about. Yeah, I mean that's the solution. I mean that's the workaround. But yeah.
So it's fixed now. Yay.
Well, is it? Has anybody tried it yet?
It's probably not as nice.
People haven't tried it yet because it's not available fully until iOS 10.3 and tvOS 10.2 are released.
Ah, okay.
Right. Yep.
So I wonder if that means they're
running betas right now.
Do you think that means there are changes to the way DRM works in those operating systems? Probably.
Probably.
No way to really know.
Yeah. So I think we are really close to having 10.3 and the tvOS update.
Yeah, we've had a lot of betas.
They're on like beta 8 or 9 or 10 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember it getting that high. Do you guys? Like, when's the last time we had a beta 8? I think they're on beta 8, right?
I'm pretty sure it's beta 8.
Yeah. Beta 7.
Is it? 7,
but yeah. I think this typically happens late in the cycle as far as, like, you know, we're expecting a new version of iOS, right? So we're getting close to iOS 11.
And I think that's not till this fall.
True, but I think the kind of later operating systems get a lot of betas, and then so we're going to get this one and probably one more point release, and then we'll be done. So, speaking of which, we got a watchOS 3.2 beta. Developers, I mean, not we, unless you're crazy and you do that. I wouldn't. I run beta on my iPad, but that's because I know I can go back if something horrible happens. But you can't do that on your watch. So just bug fixes and improvements, really nothing to report there. There's the theater mode in there, which I think is the biggest deal. We also got some watch bands. Apple dropped
new watch bands. Some new, the spring new, collection.
Yeah, the nylon bands. We got some sport bands.
All kind of muted colors.
Yeah.
I guess the spring is kind of muted, mauve-y tones.
Yeah, have you guys, have either of you gotten the
fashion, I just don't know.
The woven nylon bands?
I have the one that a listener picked up for me in Rio, and I love it.
Ooh.
Now, you see, the one that you got from Rio, that's the nylon watch band that's most intriguing to me. Other than that, I keep going to the Apple store and trying out the nylon bands, and I just can't find anything that makes me excited enough that I want to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, they're all made the same. It's just different patterns. So
yeah.
The Rio ones all had different flags of different countries. So I have a South African flag one. It's really cool.
Nice. I forgot about those. But yeah, so the nylon cost just as much as the sport band. So $49. I don't know. I really do and appreciate I like the nylon bands. I'm sorry, the sport bands. The quality of those is, you can definitely tell with those compared to like a cheapo $15 one from Amazon.
I haven't other than seeing other people's cheap nylon bands, the one thing I can say, so I've had this band since October. And it's been my main band since October, and it looks like the day I took it out of the package, practically. Like, there's no fraying, there's no, like, little extraneous, and usually the cheaper nylon bands, that's what starts to happen is, you know, the different fibers start to sort of break down.
Yeah,
sure. This one is still, like, tightly woven. It's not, you know, it's not showing any real signs of where it's got a little bending around where the buckle is, but even there, it's sort of maintained its shape. And that's where I think the kind of difference comes into play between an inexpensive nylon one and, you know, Apple's one.
Yeah, definitely.
As near as I can tell, you know, I'll let you know after a year if it's how it's holding up. That, you know, so far since October, it looks almost brand new.
Yeah. And one thing that I've learned since getting my first watch is with the sport band, if I exercise with it on, definitely clean it off. Give it just a nice little wipe off with a wet cloth every time you use it to work out with, and that has kept it like perfect. Because with the previous one, I didn't really do that at the beginning. It kind of got a little bit of like body soil buildup. It's kind of nasty. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, you give it a little wipe off and it's good as new. So there you go. Apple yesterday, I don't know if we mentioned it, but they dropped a whole bunch of stuff that they didn't really care about. Stuff that wasn't like worth having an event for. So one of those things was an update to the iPhone SE. They moved it from 32 gigs. I'm sorry. They bumped from 16 to 32 and 64 to 128. So,
yep. Doubled the storage and kept the prices the same.
Very nice. That's a very popular phone.
Yeah, but
correct me if I'm wrong. I think at this point now they no longer, unless there's an iPhone that I'm missing, they no longer have 16 gig iPhones, right?
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, nice. It's a good spot to be in. 32 gig is, that's reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of late to the party, in my opinion. They're already pushing. I mean, 32 is definitely the bare minimum. It probably was the bare minimum a year and a half ago.
I suppose, but at the same time, if you consider most people don't really store music or movies.
And apps. The problem is apps. You know, a lot of games, a lot of apps are, especially, you know, bigger games can be 500 a gig very easily.
Yeah, I can see that. For me, it's always been the big storage user is music on my device. And I feel like I'm one of the weird people who do that.
Well, and for a lot of people, it's photos.
Yeah, photos and videos, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Photos will kill you with 16. So you take a 16 gig, right? And you've got to give up about 4 for the operating system, maybe a little less. I haven't checked it in a while. So you're already at 12. And then you throw a couple games on there, you know, maybe you're using another 2, and now you've got about 10 gigs for photos, which for a lot of people, most people never offload their camera roll. They just take pictures like crazy and videos like crazy and leave them all on there.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I mean, I do backup. It's kind of like a backup thing for me where I, you know, occasionally will open. Actually, I think it just happens over the photo stream now that I think of it. But I have all my photos within the Photos app on my Mac, but I don't delete anything unless it's just a garbage photo that I don't want, like a screenshot or, you know, a picture of a whiteboard or something like that.
Mm. So again, I think, you know, 16 was just totally inadequate, and 32, you're still going to find people pushing it, especially with the photos and videos and the fact that new phones just keep getting larger and larger, you know, higher resolution files. So those things just get bigger.
Yeah.
You know, and Apple's trying to get you to take more because they came out with that Clips app too.
Yeah, okay, so tell me
10.3.
Tell me about that Clips app, because I didn't include it in the things to talk about because I don't really understand it. So what is it, and why should anybody care?
It's basically Apple's answer to every little Instagram app that you probably have used from a third party.
Yeah. The idea is you use this one app to capture video that you want to share through social networks. Okay. And it includes a bunch of filters and stickers and animated things text.
Overlay text.
Yeah, and so it's stuff that you can add to a video in real time. So while you're recording, it's stuff that you can add to a video after the fact. And then once you're done with your little video, then it can share to the various social networks and video sharing services. And it'll also use the facial recognition database from photos to pick out who's in the video. And then it'll, you know, like let's say the three of us are together and I take a video. It'll say, oh, Michael's in the video, Adam's in the video. Do you want to send this to them through messages? So then you can share it that way too. So it's not something to replace iMovie. And it's different from the video capture thing that's in the camera app. This is a very focused app for creating social network video content.
Yeah, and it just seems like another bunch of wasted engineering hours. I'm sorry for any of the engineers who probably worked on this, because it looks amazing. I mean, the whole thing looks amazing. I'm not bagging on the quality of what was built here and probably the awesome underlying technology, but it's another sort of Sherlock thing, in my opinion, that's probably going to not get used by that many people and really go nowhere because they already have 10 other apps that they're using with Instagram and Facebook and Google Plus and Messages and everything else.
I'm not sure.
Does a lot of the same things.
I'm not sure because I don't think that we are the demographic for this thing. Clearly. Mm. I think it's a wait and see. I think it has potential. It looks interesting. And if it's something that just appears on your phone when you get it, it's just an...
Is it because, a wait and see like iTunes Connect?
No, I don't think it's like iTunes Connect. I think this, because a lot of people already do the thing that you're describing, and people there are a zillion apps that let you do this kind of stuff.
Right.
If there's a polished, high-quality, ad-free app that does it for you, then I think people will enjoy it if it does the stuff that people are looking for.
I'm assuming it's still a separate app, and I'm assuming it's a separate download.
Yeah.
It's a separate app, and I'm assuming it's a separate download as well.
So, again, it just feels like Apple's late to this party, and it's cool that it does the little AI thing, and maybe that was the whole purpose of it. Maybe Apple doesn't care, you know, what the app does. This was a way to take their new AI and image processing talent and sort of build something where they could test a bunch of stuff.
It feels like maybe it's
an R&D effort that then they went, hey, this is kind of cool. Let's just push it out to the public.
That actually sounds very reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Right. And they were developing stuff that's going to get used in more significant ways in their bigger AR efforts.
Yeah, that sounds right. So we got some other exciting announcements yesterday. We've got a red iPhone now. Red iPhone 7, ooh. Product Red 7 and 7 Plus. It looks gorgeous.
It does look nice.
MKBHD had... he gets some cool stuff. Someone slid him a box, said, you might want to take a video of this. So he was the only one who had one of these. The only thing that's a little off-putting is that it's a white front. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I am a fan of the white display on the iPhone.
Yeah, but a lot of people are kind of cranky about that.
Don't be cranky.
It makes sense, though. No, I think red and black would not have come across well.
I think it would have been worse than white and red. It looks nice regardless. It's a very pretty color. And if you want it, get it. If you don't, you know?
Yeah, there you go. They're not releasing it in China.
Why?
I think it's just because red.
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe China's like freaking out because it acknowledges AIDS. I don't know.
Maybe. But, who knows? I'm sure they have reasons.
Yeah, it won't be in China.
Yeah. And it doesn't cost anything extra, right? So it's basically, it's the same price, right? Is it only available in certain capacities?
It's 128 and 256.
Yeah, same price, and a portion will go to
the Global Fund.
Yeah, there you go. And let's see what else we have here. Apple Care Plus can be purchased now up to 1 year after buying your iPhone. So that's very nice of them. That's the same deal as with your Mac, right? So within the 1 year hardware warranty, you can now purchase Apple Care.
Is this confirmed yet?
Yes, I went and looked at Apple's website.
Okay, I covered it. I covered it on Monday, and it was still a rumor at that point.
Yeah, if you go to the webpage that Apple has, where you can check the Apple Care availability for your product, and you put in the serial number, it comes right up and tells you, and it's very explicit now about, yeah, you have a year.
Cool. Awesome. So that'll give you an additional year. So it's a total of 2 years phone and hardware support.
You still need to bring it in.
I would imagine
show it to Apple.
You either bring it in, or if you do it online, there's some remote diagnostic thing that Apple can run on your phone.
Right. That's right.
And so you have to agree to that, and then you can get your Apple Care.
How can they tell if you haven't cracked your screen?
My guess is they don't care if you've cracked your screen.
Because there's still that deductible.
Because you have to pay.
Right.
But that deductible is now only, what, $29 for screens?
Something like that. So, yeah, so it's what, $129 to buy Apple Care on an iPhone, which is the same price for just replacing the screen outright if you don't have Apple Care. So now you have to decide if you think you're going to break your screen more than once.
Yeah.
Because if you are, then Apple Care makes sense. Mm-hmm. Assuming that's the only problem you ever have.
Yeah. So that's cool. Apple, we mentioned they seeded the seventh beta of iOS 10.3 to developers and public beta testers. I don't know that there are any additional changes in there, but you've got the additional HomeKit stuff. Oh, and that's also one of the things that WatchOS 3.2 adds, which is Siri Kit, right? So that's cool.
Siri Kit.
And then you've got your improved accounts listing and settings. So that's actually very nice. iPads. I think iPads is the big deal, right?
Everybody wants to know where the new iPads are.
So
got one new iPad.
So we've got the 9.7-inch iPad. Yeah. So it's and it's, I think we all predicted this happening, or we were speculating that they were going to kind of simplify, get rid of the Air moniker.
So iPad.
It's just called iPad. So it's a 9.7-inch iPad with the A9 chip now. So it's upgraded from the A8X, I believe. Was it A8X on the Air 2? I think that's right. It was $400, correct? Right, $399 for the Air 2, for the minimum Air 2. So it's $70 cheaper.
Yeah, that sounds right.
$70 cheaper. It does not have a fully laminated display. And for people who have no idea what the hell I'm talking about, like I didn't understand what that meant. I remember that they said it one time. So basically, when the Air 2 came out, they had a new process for the display where they laminated the cover glass directly to the LCD panel, and that allowed for less glare, less reflectivity, and a thinner overall package. But it's more expensive, so they're not doing that on the new iPad, on the $329 iPad. So that is pretty much what accounts for the slight increase in thickness over the Air 2. And it is 10 or 20,
nobody's gonna care,
10 or 20 grams heavier, and but it's same battery life. You got your headphone jack, you've got the 1.2 megapixel FaceTime camera, 8 megapixel rear camera, 802.11 AC, A9 chip, you know, it's all good. It's basically
so Apple's just realizing on the lower end that people just want a cheap price and they really don't care about the little niceties like less reflective and slightly thinner.
So this is a really good it's a good tablet for $329.
Yeah, I think this is a really good entry level tablet.
Yeah, so 32 gig to start. Very nice. I like it. So they discontinued the iPad Mini 2, right? That's right, right?
I don't see iPad Minis available, no.
You can get an iPad Mini 4.
Yeah, but
they're $70.
Only in the 128 gig configuration, and it's $70 more than the entry-level iPad, 9.7-inch iPad.
And it's slower.
Yeah.
It is thinner.
Because it's still an A8 processor.
A8X. It does have the laminated display and an anti-reflective coating. So it's better on the screen quality. And it's obviously lighter. And it is thinner. So if those are the important things. And it's 128 gigs. I don't know if I mentioned that. But
I think this is Apple's passive-aggressive way of saying, we just discontinued the iPad mini line.
Yeah. I think between the nine, you know, having the 9.7 and the new iPhone pluses, there just kind of wasn't a space for the mini size.
You think there?
And I know that pains a lot of people because there's a lot of people that really like the iPad mini size, but I think Apple ultimately probably decided that there just wasn't enough left in the middle there.
Yeah, I think Apple's iPad mini market has actually become the iPhone 7 Plus market.
Right. And once again, Steve Jobs was right.
Yep, there you go.
What was the exact thing he was right about?
When the original iPad, the 9.7 size was announced, Steve made a big point of saying, look, we tried all kinds of different sizes and found that this was the sweet spot. And I think Another example of that's going to be if the rumors turn out to be true, and I think they are, that the 10.5-inch iPad is going to be the same like physical form factor almost as the 9.7.
Yeah.
I think because it is kind of the sweet spot for a tablet. I mean, I love my iPad Pro and I love the giant size, but it is ginormous. You know?
Yeah.
And as far as just like carrying around a device that's the perfect balance of size and form factor and function in terms of a tablet, I think the 9.7 size is kind of ideal.
Yeah, I agree. It's and that said, I don't hardly use my iPad Air at all anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm iPad Pro and then iPad Mini now.
Yeah, but I with my iPad Pro, I'm fully aware that I'm giving up the convenience of the size that was my iPad Air. And really, if you put me to it, I would say that was still the best balance. I'm not saying it's perfect, right? But what I'm saying is it's kind of that perfect middle space that hits the right size to the right convenience of like carrying around and having, you know, it is kind of a bear to carry around my iPad Pro. But I love the bigger size because of what I do with it.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel like carrying my iPad Pro is a bear. Because I'm not carrying my MacBook Pro.
Well, see, that's exactly it. But again, you and I are doing the same thing. For me, it's a notebook replacement when I don't want to carry my notebook around.
Yes, absolutely.
For most people who are buying an iPad, I think the tablet is their only computer. And that's kind of my point, is like, if you're in that scenario, I think the 9.7 is kind of that perfect size to, you know, it's the same way, like, I will never have a 13-inch MacBook Pro, but that probably is the perfect sweet spot in terms of a notebook size, too.
Yeah,
but I'm a coder,
I get that.
And I have Pro uses, you know, little higher-end uses, and I can't do with anything less than a 15-inch.
Yep. Same here.
But
I would love a 13-inch. I did a 12, the 12-inch G4 PowerBook when that came out years ago.
Oh, the cutie.
The cutie. And it was really nice, but it was too limiting.
Yep.
And
screen size.
Yeah. Well, see, I always had an external display connected to it. And that made it usable at my desk. But when it came down to like really getting serious about the book I was writing at the time, it wasn't there. And I had to go buy a 15-inch MacBook Pro in the middle of that project. I guess it was a PowerBook at that point.
Yeah. Maybe the right way to put it is, you know, the 9.7 is like the Model A Ford or the Volkswagen of tablets. Right? Kind of fits for the most number of people.
Yeah.
Not everyone. Some people still need trucks and some people still need, you know, different kinds of vehicles. But like the majority of people, if they just had that, it sort of fits.
Now, what do you say to the crazy people on the internet who say, oh, it's clear that the Mac is not long for this world based on this announcement and every other announcement.
They're right. They're right in terms of like, everybody's not going to be running around there's going to be fewer and fewer people. And we're already seeing, it's already happening. There's so many people who are not buying notebooks or desktops anymore. They're using their phone and they're using their tablets. And that's only going to grow larger.
Yeah, the Mac isn't going away for a long time, but the market for the Mac is going to steadily dwindle.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah,
we're still talking about millions of Mac users, you know, but it's the difference between, is Apple selling 1.5 million Macs 5-10 years from now versus the 4 or 5 that they sell now in a given quarter, right? It's that kind of change that you're talking about. You're not talking about like, oh, Apple's not going to sell Macs anymore. It's just, it's going to be a smaller portion of their business.
Yeah, and that's not a shortcoming of the Mac. That's
right.
The market and the way technology is moving.
Right. Again, Look, you can, the car analogies are some of the best analogies, right? Most people drive sedans, but there's all kinds of markets for other kinds of cars, sports cars and little roadsters and, you know, trucks, and but they're just much smaller. Mm-hmm. Most people drive around in a four-door sedan. Maybe an SUV.
Yeah. So some evidence for the fifth generation Apple TV, as well as tvOS 11, has been spotted in some developer logs, according to Fiery Games, the guys who make Phoenix HD and Phoenix 2. They saw the Apple TV 6.2 in some of their logs, pointing to, again, those rumors of...
logs coming from areas in and around Cupertino.
Yes, right? Yeah, in the correct IP range, in Apple's private IP range.
Which can be spoofed, just want to point that out.
Yeah, so if people really wanted to screw with us and get us all excited that we're finally getting a new Apple TV and then kick our feet out from under us, this would be a really good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Except Bloomberg originally said that Apple's doing a 4K Apple TV and they're right. Pretty reliable.
I would say
in terms
so.
Of,
you know, if the only new feature is 4K, I won't end up buying it because...
Me neither.
I'm not interested in the 4K part. So I'm hoping that there's other cool stuff.
And I'm not planning on buying one anytime soon. So
yeah, I'm still using my totally awesome 1080p 32-inch Sony Bravia. Killer television. Love that thing. I hope it never dies.
I think 4K, you know, everybody's saying only 4K. I would imagine there'd be a small CPU, GPU bump. Yeah. But I mean, it's not going to be anything that anybody's going to notice. I mean, the big key, the feature labeled on the outside of the box is going to be 4, you know, supports 4K.
Yep.
You know, if here's what would get me to buy one, if 4K was like the only real feature besides a small CPU and GPU bump, is if Lego said, and we're releasing all of our Lego games, but you have to have the new Apple TV to play it or play them. I would without hesitation buy the new Apple TV.
That's the Jeff feature.
There you go.
Man, I don't play any games on my Apple TV.
You don't?
It's because the Lego games aren't there.
I've been starting to play more.
I don't think I'm a game person. I just kind of started
seeking them out.
I should probably just step back from that conversation.
So you're not jonesing for a Switch?
I walk by Nintendo's DS in Target and flirt with the idea of buying one. And I never do because I think it wastes my time. But I do like playing Mario Kart.
Just to play Zelda and Splatoon.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I do like me some Zelda. I like some Mario Kart, which the N64 you sent me for Mario Kart still only plays Mario Kart. That's the only game I have for it.
So really, you have a Mario console?
Yeah. Mario that's Zelda. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I don't have time for games. That's the only reason I don't have that stuff. It's like I really do not have time to sit down and just play games that are more than just casual games for, you know, playing for 30 minutes or so. I cannot get immersed in a, you know, 4-hour game session or a two-hour game session.
I do like I came up with my pick now, so thanks to this conversation. So
you know, I'm still rocking my original Wii.
Yep. And my daughter just asked me if we moved. We've been in this house almost 3 years. And she's like, where's the Wii? Are we going to hook that back up?
Very popular.
Yeah. It's funny. My Wii's on the network and it's talking out to the internet. And I think it's calling the Sony servers and it's like, why don't you talk to me anymore?
You mean Nintendo?
Yeah, well, that would make sense for the Sony servers especially. But yeah, the Nintendo servers, why won't you talk to me? Because I don't think Nintendo has any services that talk to the original Wii anymore.
Yeah.
Probably poor not. Little device.
All right. So I think we're done with news. Since we're talking about fun stuff, you want to do picks? Adam, I'll let you go first.
That means I got to have a pick, right? Actually, you know what I'm going to pick is Confessions of a Dangerous Mind on iTunes, which I think is like a $4 rental. And the reason that I'm picking it is because just before we started recording the show, the announcement came out that Chuck Barris, host of The Gong Show and a bunch of cool, I think, as Jeff pointed out, Unknown Comic and
Gene,
the Dancing Machine, all that stuff, just wacky stuff from my childhood in the 70s. He passed away, but he wrote a book called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, where he came out and said that the CIA came to him and roped him into becoming an assassin for them. Because he would go all over the world pitching these game shows to different locations, and they were all secret covert missions to assassinate people. So Confessions of a Dangerous Mind is the movie starring George Clooney, and it has
Sam Rockwell.
Drew Barrymore in it.
Huh? Sam Rockwell.
And Sam Rockwell, who I'm enjoying a lot of his work lately, in it. And it's a good, fun film.
Looks good.
So to honor and commemorate his death, it's worth a watch on iTunes. So I'll recommend that because I really don't have an app pick this week.
That's fine. I'm gonna throw that in my to-do movies.
Yeah, it's just a funky thing. Like, and I don't think anybody really believes him other than he seemed to believe it wholeheartedly.
Well, I don't know if he believed that's what was really happening, but he owned the story he crafted.
Yeah.
And I think my feeling is he was playing the long game with the joke and, you know, and he went to his deathbed where he could have said, all right, I totally made it up because it was a funny story.
No,
but he didn't.
No, I think
that's commitment.
I think sticking the landing in this case is never, never dropping the veil.
Yep. And he did not drop the veil. So, you know, maybe it was an elaborate joke, or maybe he really was an assassin. And to me, it doesn't matter because he totally owned it.
I think he was. I believe him. I think it happened.
I also
just crazy enough to be real.
I also believe that fake Steve Jobs was really Steve Jobs, the fake Steve Jobs blog.
Yeah, and so the real joke there is getting Dan, what's his name, to say it was me and then stick with it.
Yeah, you got a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, check that out.
Cool.
Check that movie out.
All right, Jeff, what's your pick?
My pick is a piece of hardware. It's the Omna 1080 cam from D-Link. This is the first HomeKit compatible camera to come out.
And why do you have one?
Because they wanted me to take a look at it. And I'm like, all right. So right now I'm looking at three different cameras so I can compare them. And I have a Withings Home, the Canary, and the Omna 1080.
I'll let you do your review and then I have questions.
Okay, so I have them all set up, and I have like the most recorded hallway in the country right now because they're all looking at the same thing, and I'm liking the Omna because once you've got it set up, you can remotely move the lens, so you can fine tune the angle, or if you need to move the lens so you can look at something that's kind of off to the side, you can do that. And it has a micro SD card slot So if you pop a micro SD card into that, you can now record video. So if you're someone who doesn't like the idea of having a camera that's looking into your home all the time and then storing video on a cloud server, this is a nice option because you have total control over what gets saved because it's all local. The downside is if someone breaks into your place and steals the camera, now they've got all the footage of them stealing the camera.
You know they're going to steal that sweet piece of gear. That's what they came for.
Of course they are, because it's, I mean, it's obvious that you have this little camera sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So questions. So you like this better than the Canary? Because that was the other one that I was very interested in.
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. And then do they offer a cloud service, or is it only the SD card for recording?
It's only the SD card.
Okay.
One of the things that I'm liking about the Canary is that it has the air quality sensor built in, and the Omna does not have an air quality sensor.
And have you been able to compare the quality of video? Because that was the one thing in a lot of the reviews that I read. This was before the D-Link one existed. The Canary seemed to always come out on top in terms of the image quality of the camera.
They both have really good image quality. Okay. I actually prefer the Withings Home video and video quality. Even though it's an older camera comparatively, but the software they have is fantastic because it takes the image and it pulls the fisheye out of it.
Oh, nice.
So you don't have the fisheye look to everything, which you do with the Omna and with the Canary.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
All right. So I should probably tell you.
They're all about the same price, right?
$199.
Yeah. $199. Yeah. So they're all in that same general price range.
Yeah, the Omna $180 because it captures 180 degrees.
And the Canary supports HomeKit too, right? Do all of these?
Only the Omna.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, and...
That gives it the edge.
Yeah, Withings says that... they said back at CES that they have a HomeKit-compatible version of the Home coming out. And it's not out yet. I'm assuming it's coming soon.
Well, I guess now I'm going to have more questions. So, final question. Do you know, does the D-Link support Amazon?
I think this is HomeKit only. But that's a good question. I'm going to find out.
All right. So my pick...
I'm all about HomeKit, so sorry. It doesn't matter to me.
But yeah.
I know a lot of people care about...
I care about the HomeKit. I like the HomeKit. All right. So my pick this week is... I'm going to go with Portal 2. Because I do like games... I like certain games that have a nice story to them. And I guess I'm picking both Portal 1 and Portal 2, because if you play Portal 2, you should really have played Portal 1, but they're both very good games. You've got this portal gun, and in Portal 2, you kind of wake up in this dilapidated laboratory, giant, vast... complex that, you traverse the complex and try to solve these physics puzzles using your portal gun that lets you go from, A to B using magical portals.
I need to introduce that to my kids because I haven't done that yet.
You really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the physics in it, spoiler alert, the physics doesn't quite hold up to reality.
Really? That's surprising.
I know. Yeah, I think there's a video online that describes how you can't conserve the momentum through portals. I don't know. I think you can, but whatever.
Well, every time I've seen people playing the games, they're conserving the momentum, no problem. So there you go.
Pretty darn well.
It also feels like the portals have some sort of acceleration feature.
Yeah.
to be honest.
Maybe.
It's not even just you're conserving the momentum. It feels like as you travel through the portal, you get a little push in some instances too.
Could be. Yeah. So check it out. It's $20. Oh man, it's a good game. Really good. It came out a while ago, so it'll probably work on most of your, relatively good Macs.
Is it on the App Store now, or is it still only Steam?
I'm pretty sure it's just Steam. Yeah. But, go get a Steam account, get your Portal 2, get Portal. Really good games, solid, solid games from someone who's not a gamer.
Yeah. Don't get the Portal that's on the App Store. You'll just be disappointed.
Oh, yeah. Don't get that one.
Good to know.
All right. So you can find all the picks and show notes at theiosshow.com and review the show on iTunes, rate the show, give us some stars. You can send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Our sponsor really throughout the whole year is HelloFresh.com. Check them out. Get some good food. TIOSS35 for $35 off your first week of deliveries. Check that out. Advertising handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, at Mattcast on Twitter. And thanks for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, TMO Daily Observations podcast every weekday. Check that out. At Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here. Thanks for leaving your, I'm sure, luxurious spot at Starbucks to come do this.
For you, anything.
Yeah. It's probably reserved, honestly. You're probably just going to go right back.
Well, it is kind of reserved. I walk in and they just start making my drink and one of the baristas walks over to the table that I sit at. And if someone's there, they just punch them and knock them out of the chair.
Yeah.
I mean, best customer service around.
Starbucks royalty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Get them and